Live music, then it's not great.
Okay, fine. So let's start with shaving, okay? And then we'll move on to Mizrachim music and other things if we have time afterwards. Okay. So let's start. For Mr. Dale Nander, this should look very familiar because these are similar sheets to what we used last year in our class that we studied together. So I just took out the questions at the end. But for the most part, it's the same sheets that we used in our BMP IBC class last year. Okay. So, ligabe giluach. Okay, so when it comes to shaving, hitora she'ela. The question was raised: Haim lemisha ragil liitgaleach bechol hashana mutar liitgaleach besfirat haomer. Somebody who normally shaves all year, is he allowed to shave during sfirat haomer or not? So let's see. Ladat rabim, according to many opinions, giluach bechlal tisporet. Shaving is including getting a haircut. They go together, just like you're not allowed to get a haircut, you're not allowed to shave either. Rov bnei ha-yeshivot, most of the yeshiva students, that's how they follow. Ad she'i ha-giluach, hafach liyot ha-heker ha-bolet v'yoter shel ha-bilus b'mei ha-sirat ha-omer. Right? You want to see what's the sign of sirat ha-omer? You see the person didn't shave, right? That became the sign, has become the indication of the morning of sirat ha-omer. Ulam mineged, however, on the other hand, yesh sovrim sheyesh hevdel yesodi ben tisporet legiluach. No, there's a fundamental difference between the two. B'tisporet yesh chagigiyut. A haircut has celebration. Kufisha mikubal shanashim istaprim lekrat chagim ve'irim. Right, you have a day before a wedding, day before something. Right, that's when you get your haircuts. Right, in honor of a big event. It's a habitual act. It's not every day or every couple of days, whatever. Bless you. So it's not a celebratory act. It's not an act of celebration. Rather, it's an act of removing something which is uncomfortable, looks bad, something you want to avoid. And the custom of not shaving was never chal on this. Okay, and especially on Fridays and Erev Shabbat, it's appropriate to shave so you don't come into the Shabbat in a disrespectful way. Okay. Those who want to follow the more lenient opinion, you're allowed to. You should not protest. So you should follow either his father or like his teacher, his rabbi.
In terms of shaving or in terms of both?
Shaving. What's both? Shaving haircuts, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, haircuts is it's pretty it's pretty clear forward that you're not going to get a haircut. It's pretty straightforward. The question is shaving, because again, haircut is davar chagigi.
Celebratory,
right. But the but shaving, which is habitual, so that's where he's saying that a person should just follow the custom of his fathers or his rebbe. So let's elaborate a little more. Even though mi'ikar adin, you can follow the lenient opinion. If sharli italem meha uvda sheyesh b'minhag shelo litkalech b'mei ha-sfirah. So he says, a person's willingness not to shave during the Sfirat HaOmer, you can't ignore the fact that it's a important expression of a person's readiness to dedicate himself and sacrifice himself for Kiyum HaMitzvot. Right, if a person starts being lenient on this, so then it's in general it may either cause him or cause other people to start taking minhagim lightly. So therefore, the fichach nachon shekol adam minhag bazek aviv o kvish rabba mora. Now, if your minhag, as you receive from your teacher or from your father, is to be lenient, okay, so that's different. Kinyan hamisoret v'hashpa'a hasviatit, the traditions and the impact on the surroundings chashivun kan yoter matikduk b'sheila inga ha'im. Okay, so he's taking a little bit of like a meta approach to this, right? He's taking like a broader approach to this, and he's saying that really we have to look at the big picture, and the big picture is asking the question: how is shaving or not shaving going to have an impact on me, on my surroundings, on my traditions, on my relationship with customs in general. And that's the more important question to answer, rather than the technical question of whether or not shaving is included in the minhag or is not included in the minhag. That's what he says. Wow. So let's look at the note. There's a lot of interesting stuff in this note here, where he goes through all the different factors, and then Bezrat Hashem, we will look at something, it wasn't written by him, but something written based on the teachings of Rav Lichtenstein about his approach to shaving during the Sfirat HaOmer. And then I'd like to also look at the Tshuvat HaRadvaz, which is one of the most famous lenient sources, and then with the Shulchan Aruch response to that custom.
Who's
Rabbi Lichtenstein? He passed away about a year ago. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion in Israel, which was one of the major yeshivot has there. He was Rav Soloveitchik's son-in-law, and therefore he had a very important place in the world of centrist modern orthodoxy, whatever you want to call it. Okay. So let's see. Let's look at the footnote here. Okay, everybody with me? Rabbi machmirim shelo litkaleach kla b'meha avilusha besfira. So many are machmir, are stringent, not to shave at all. And then he says, v'siman tafsadi gimel yutet, katav api ha'achronim, shirak b'makom hefsed parnasa yicholim litkaleach. So very important kula, that's part of the reason why I read the footnote, he includes some things here, in a situation of hefsed parnasa, even some of the people who are machmir, and they say you generally should not shave during Sfirat HaOmer, but in a situation of loss of financial loss, he's going to lose his income, so therefore you can be lenient. The Gambi Groth Moshe.
You're a corporate slave, and you have to...
Yeah, exactly. Your boss,
you have to shave for
if
work.
Your boss is gonna be particular about... Look at the next thing, right?
Yeah, but what if your own business name, like, you don't want to look like a schlug?
So, okay, so it depends. If you think it's going to affect your business... So then...
Could you get a haircut? I'm going to try to squeeze out.
I don't think so.
I'm going to squeeze it out like home.
I don't know. Okay, so he says, Gam b'grot Moshe hitir lihitzgaleach v'makom sheish hefsed mamon kigon shema'asikav, his employer, dorshim zo imen. Okay, your employer says, you have to shave, right? So it's not something you have to lose your job over. Right? So you'd be allowed to shave during the Sfirat HaOmer. Omnam, however, so these are all the machmirim. Minegev shar lomar shegiluach yom yomi eino kitispor. It's not like getting a haircut. Shekin lo haitam mitziut kazu bizvan sheechelu linhog avilu kitispor. Right. So the first reason to be lenient, he says, is that listen, when the original custom was established in order not to get haircuts during Sfirat HaOmer, right, as part of our avilut, part of our mourning for the students of Rabbi Akiva, there was no reality of daily shaving or semi-daily shaving, right? Or shaving just to remove stubble. There's no such thing. Nobody did such a thing. And therefore, one can argue that when they established the minhag not to get haircuts, that minhag never included shaving because it didn't exist at the time. So there's nothing to make a minhag on, right? Like Rav Moshe Feinstein says, that the minhag of kitniyot, he says, only applies to foods that existed at the time when the minhag was established. So therefore he says, I think he's talking about peanuts, I think. So Lama said, people who are machmir on kinyot are machmir on peanuts also. But I believe Moshe Feinstein says, since peanuts were not around in the societies where the minhag of kinyot was established, he says the minhag of kinyot does not apply to peanuts. I think the practice among Ashkenazim is they do not eat peanuts. However, it's a similar idea over here. Since the concept of daily shaving didn't exist, so therefore, when the Chachamim established the custom, or the whatever, whoever established the Geonim, whoever established this custom, not to shave, the custom did not get haircuts, since shaving didn't exist at the time, the custom never extended to not shaving. That's what he's saying.
Shaving always existed.
People would trim their beards every week or two or something like that.
No man was ever clean shaven before, like, 2000. People were.
Who is it? Somebody was recently telling me.
How did they shave back in the day? They didn't have a knife.
Not Jewish people. Chas v'shalom. It's asur.
It's asur.
You can't use a razor. Somebody was telling me this recently that when they wanted to, what do they call the priest? What's the Yiddish name for a priest? Anybody know?
Kolmer.
He's a galach. You know what a galach means?
Galach.
He's a shaven one. The worst thing you can call somebody is a shaven one, because they had no facial hair, they had nothing. My guess is that it was really because they would use a razor, and then they were the only ones who used razors, and therefore they got really clean shaves, right?
How would you shave back then?
Back then, they would use scissors. They use some sort of... They have some sort of cutting action where there are two blades. So therefore, in order for shaving to be forbidden, it has to be two things. It has to be with a razor, and it has to be derech hashchata. Meaning it has to be with something it has to be destructive. That means it has to completely remove the hair from, even from like underneath, right? And it has to be using a knife of some, or a razor of some sort.
Both
in order to be forbidden. So therefore, if I use a knife and I don't destroy the beard, meaning like let's say I have like a scissor action, or let's say I use like Nair. You know what Nair is?
Yeah.
Nair is like a...
Women use it.
Yeah, right. For hair removal.
For hair removal.
Right. So it's like a... chemical.
That?
You can. Yeah, yeah, you can.
What is it?
It's like a chemical that burns the hair off your face or wherever.
It's like a cream.
Anywhere you put it on.
Yeah,
it's a cream. And it really burns
a
lot.
And it takes off all the hair.
And it removes all the hair, yeah. So that's hashchata, but it's not...
Damn,
but it's not with a ta'ar. Okay, that's hashchata, and not with a ta'ar. So, most people use that's very debatable itself. Most people use electric shavers, which basically uses a combination of the blade with the foil together, create a scissor action in order to cut the hair.
So you're saying before, like, when would make electric shavers, like 50 years ago? Like,
yeah, so before then, people,
was
they...
Not one religious Jew is clean shaven?
Unless maybe they use Nair, I don't know.
Everyone had beards, really. Everyone had
yeah, beards. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
humans not being clean shaven once.
No, but also they probably had like if you have fine scissors, you probably you would not be clean shaven, but you can get pretty short probably. You had very fine fine edge scissors.
The difference between your beard and really short is small, and then between really short and clean shaven. You know what I'm saying? In terms of looks, whatever.
Yes. That's right. Okay.
That's pretty crazy.
So, you know? Clean shaven.
Now, what religious Jew clean shaven
was if you were a galach. That's the point. I mean, the galachim were clean shaven, but.
I always assume like Jews would shave with a knife. I never thought about like razor.
No, it's a sword. Yeah, it's a sword. So that's
unless here.
Yes, the neck. Even though some people have the custom not to use a razor for the neck either, but technically,
really?
Until where is it? Your jawbone, basically.
I don't know exactly where the line goes.
Because it's not part of your face,
right? Because you can't destroy one of the five corners of the face. So therefore, many areas in the face are like safek in terms of that.
What are the five corners of the face?
I always assumed it was these two, and over here, but
two like bones.
Yeah, like over here. But I think there's also there's like safek. Maybe there are other places that are included in the five or something like that, and that's why we don't use razors at all on the face. But the neck is not included. But somebody once told me they asked for Mordechai Willig, and he said the custom is not to. But I've never clarified.
I use it on my back.
I've always wanted to do it. So
for your neck?
For my whole face.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, it's definitely a...
You don't have a neck?
Taiba.
Ariel Domani used to or still does do it over there?
I never started doing it because I hate feeling my neck. It's so hard.
Yeah,
it is hard.
Yeah, you don't even have neck here. What are you talking about?
You don't have
your hair ends what are you saying? My neck ends like on my chest.
Okay, anyway, so...
It's like a laser movement.
Okay, anyways, okay. So, And that's why... there's always this big controversy about lift and cut shavers, because lift and cut claims that it goes beneath the skin, it lifts the hair out from underneath the skin and it cuts it. So that's why there's a big controversy about lift and cut shavers. Many people don't.
Many people take
the lift and cut off the shaver. Whatever.
So funny.
A lot of things to talk about there. Okay. Anyways, but the point is, since the shaving didn't exist. So therefore, the custom never evolved, okay. And therefore, another factor, he says, the choma she'nahagu b'sfirat ha'omer. I'm on like the end. I'm sorry, the beginning. The efshar, the fourth line in the note here. The efshar lechalik ben tispor chagigit legiluach shel hasarat nivul. Another reason to lean, and we'll see this in Rav Lichtenstein's Dvar Torah as well, is that we can distinguish between something which is celebratory, like we said before, and something that's just removing something that's disgusting, removing something that's distasteful, so to speak. The chomash nagu sfirat haomer hu limana mechagigiyut. The prohibitions of sfirat haomer are to avoid things that are happy, that are rejoicing, v'lo lahafkin avelut, but not to demonstrate explicit mourning, v'zifei hazakan mafkinim avelut. That's a demonstration of mourning. Kach efshar lahakel b'sefirat ha'omer. And he says, even uveshloshet shavuot ad Rosh Chodesh Av, and you can even be lenient during the 3 weeks until Rosh Chodesh Av, because until after Rosh Chodesh Av, that's real minhagei avilut. From Shivasar b'Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh Av is just to avoid celebration. So therefore, it's just to avoid celebration, then you'd still be allowed to shave if you're a person who shaves regularly. V'chein katab harav shechter, moreno v'rabino harav shechter, v'nefesh harav, quoted, he made, Rav Shachter made it to Penina Halacha. Believe it or not, he made it to Penina Halacha. Okay, and then Rav Soloveitchik, and that's mostly what Rav Lechon scenes will see, what his argument is based on. Okay, so now a third factor, so first thing is that maybe the custom never included shaving to begin with. Secondly, maybe the custom of the Sefirat HaOmer is not to do happy things, but removing something that's discomfortable, that's uncomfortable or distasteful, maybe that's not included. And the third thing is v'yoter mizeh kasher midurar b'giluach likrat Shabbat. L'ken, sh'ken l'amad l'gavi minhag ha'ashkenazim sh'en yistar b'rbichol shal shavuot, sh'ken Magen Avram, sh'en yistar b'afil l'vnei Shabbat ho v'en regilim. Right, so the Magen Avram says, when you don't shave during the 3 weeks for Ashkenazim, Sfaradim only don't shave Shavuot Shechalbo. But he says for the Ashkenazim, who don't shave during the 3 weeks, Magen Avram says, don't do it for somebody who doesn't normally shave. Mashma, an implication is, okay, so even the Magen Avraham sounds like people who normally shave, they can shave the Chavot Shabbat. And that's the custom, and I know the students from Yeshivat Chavetz Chaim, they do that. They shave during the Erev Shabbat, during the 3 weeks. They shave on Erev Shabbat. Okay, so many have that, some have that custom, okay? V'al kol zeh yesh lo osif, on top of all this, the original custom is only not to get married, which is the most fascinating thing ever, right? The Gaonim say, when did the minhag to not get married during the Sefirat HaOmer begin? At the time of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. At that time, the next year, whatever it was, that's when the custom began not to get married. It's a much later custom. Or Chor Chaim, Shibolei Aleka, these are much later Rishonim. Kigon, Crusades, etc. Okay? So maybe these customs, only this custom of not shaving, only came later on. After the Crusades, after other things. And this true is Rabaz, which we're going to see. So the Radvaz says there are some of you who shave all of Chodesh Nisan. Right, get a haircut too. At least the parents get a haircut too. V'yesh nohagim. What?
Radvaz is the teacher.
He was, yeah? He was one of the teachers? Okay. So, okay, so he says, V'chein nohagim lisar kol Erev Shabbat. Okay, but this Radbaz, this is the only Radbaz. This one.
I got a haircut.
Okay?
I got a haircut. It was too bad. I didn't get one before. It was too messy. I couldn't wait.
Okay. So he says, okay, Erev Shabbat, V'chein hekel istaver Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Okay? Against the Shulchan Aruch, which we'll see soon. Okay?
Are we going to do the part about his students, about like...
Oh, that's the best. I didn't include that. Maybe we could talk about that.
That was my favorite thing I learned in your class. By far, that was the most enjoyable.
Okay, so maybe we'll quote it next week.
It changed the way I view the owner. Forever.
You want to see it over there, or should we read it next week? I'll bring it in print.
That omer, I gave a speech, and I said really? That, and people were like, whoa, I never thought of it like that.
Wow, okay, do you want to see it over?
No.
It's not upstairs?
No, it's inside.
He doesn't have it inside.
We'll get it next week.
So maybe cancel this week?
No, it's not a 2-minute thing. It's like a
I don't know.
It takes a couple minutes.
Do I say it?
No, it's much rather than much
other. Okay, so let's do it inside next week. Let's do it inside next week, okay?
It's so good.
You said it's not a 2-minute thing. It takes a couple minutes.
It's     like...
Yeah, we'll do it inside next week. We'll do it inside next week. If you're very curious, you can find it on... Online.
No.
I would love to learn it inside again. I don't remember for perfect.
Okay, so Blina, we'll try to do it next week inside. Okay?
Wow, I never realized that. And then that's a great answer.
You're making Sean very jealous. So let's
what did you never realize?
Should I just give him the question?
No.
You can tell him the question. I don't remember which question.
So you know we say Rabbi Akiva students died? How did they die?
They hated each other.
People say it was a plague.
Right. So if you actually look at history, the time Rabbi Akiva, the Jewish people were at war with the Romans, and they lost the war. So an enormous amount of Jewish people died. So why don't we talk about, like, they died because of the war. They died of war. It's like, well, how does the war play into it? And, like, he's going to explain, like, how the war plays into it and, like, how it all makes sense.
And how that fits. How that fits with Lo Nagu Kavod Zerozeh.
He connects about, like, the... some, like, huge, like, oh my God, everyone's dying one what? No.
Well, the Gemara said, I mean, the Gemara does say that it was like an askara of some sort.
No,
which sounds like it was a plague. That's why. The Gemara sounds like, I believe so. The Gemara says it sounds like it was a plague.
People were just like, oh my God, everyone's dying. No, it was a huge war, and the Jews lost the war, and everyone died.
It would be recorded in history.
It is recorded in history.
Well, the Gemara records it. I don't know. I mean,
plague of 24,000.
No, it's just plague all the time back then.
Okay, I don't know.
Did you ever think of that? That there was Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Bar Kocha, Rabbi Akiva?
Yeah.
There was a huge war.
Yeah, of course.
Did you ever think of that?
I never thought about it.
Right?
That's cool.
He's gonna tie it together.
Okay, well, don't ruin it for everybody, okay? Okay, we're on page 2 on the top. Okay, anyways, this is a much later custom. Interesting, he says that the original Taimani custom, remember the Taimani weren't necessarily exposed to the customs of the rest of the Jewish people. So the original Taimani custom was that they didn't avoid shaving. They would shave during Sefirat HaMoed. They didn't avoid shaving. Later on, they adopted the custom not to shave. But the original Taimani custom was not to. So therefore, he says, you can sort of be mitztaref these other things, these other lenient opinions, for a person who wants to shave during Sefirat HaOmer. He quotes those who say specifically for Shabbat. And he goes for Lichtenstein, which we'll see the whole ma'amah from Lichtenstein soon, Bezrat Hashem. And... okay, and then he says, Lamasa, the best thing is to follow the custom of... and then also it says, Tsa'ar, maybe, meaning... The Gemara has a discussion, or the Rishonim have a discussion, but let's say a person, let's say his mustache gets very, very long, and gets in the way of his eating during Sefirat HaOmer. It's very uncomfortable, it's very... causes a lot of Tsa'ar, right? So Lamasa, the Rishonim are lenient. So he says, maybe... He says maybe similarly, people who normally shave every day and they don't shave for a few days, that's a similar type of tsar, and therefore they can be lenient as well in order not to shave. Shulchan Aruch quotes not getting married. I believe he speaks about shaving. Yeah, I think he speaks about shaving. Yeah. I think he looked tough stuff to get.
I remember it was a lot less than the ones that we did.
Well, he doesn't say anything about Lalakin's music. That's the most important thing he doesn't say anything about. And that comes later on as an extension of the prohibition of weddings and rikudim mecholot. As an extension, they talk about not listening to music, which we'll, with time allowing, we'll get to. We can touch on the Gimel, that's where he speaks about it. Okay. So now let's look quickly at this ma'amah from Lichtenstein. A lot of stuff we already did, but we'll go over some of it, okay? So this is it's written by Rav Yossi Tzvi Rimon, who's the Rav of Alon Shvut, which is the community where Yeshivat Har Tzion is. He's a very, very big teacher of halacha. He's actually one of my favorite teachers of halacha. He's up there with Rav Melamed. And he wrote an article based on the teachings of Rav Lichtenstein on this issue of shaving their Sefirat HaOmer. Okay? So he says, okay, B'sugiyat HaGemara. Everybody see that in the middle of page 2? B'sugiyat HaGemara?
Yep.
Yeah, Tomer? Yeah? We're good?
No.
Down? B'sugiyat HaGemara? Okay? Okay. Everyone, you have it?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. B'sugiyat HaGemara, lo muskar min hagei abilus b'ikvot mutam shel tamidei Rabbi Akiva. But lo muskar ha'isur listaper. So the Gemara doesn't say anything about any min hagei abilus at all regarding the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva, and doesn't even say anything about shaving. Okay? Or getting a haircut. Isur tisper b'sfirat ha'omer mofia etzel ritz ibn geat v'muva b'beit Yosef b'shem hari ibn Schwab. Okay? So these are pretty early Rishonim. Who mentioned this custom? Okay, so Rav Lichtenstein Savar Shemikama Sibod Yesh Makom Laatir Giluach Mitzvah Ta Omer v'vaday l'chavos haShabbat. Okay, so the Chassidim thought that for many reasons there's room to be lenient, certainly for Kavosh Shabbat. Where do you want to say this, Sean? Yeah?
So what you said, it was just those two things.
Weddings and shaving, right? And it's taper, whatever.
He also says, Nagu anashim shelo lasot melacha mipesach v'ratzeret mishkeh
hachama. It's after sunset.
Oh, v'ad
atzeret? What? Until Shabbat?
Mipesach v'ad atzeret.
Mishkeh hachama. Mishkeh hachama to when? All night?
Mishkeh hachama v'erev.
Maybe not to go to work. I don't know. Is that that's in Maran or that's in the Ramah? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know. Okay, anyways, so he says. Okay, now he's gonna. This is a very interesting idea that Rav Soloveitchik, in general, when Rav Soloveitchik tried to explain the customs of the Jewish people, he always tried to connect the customs to existing halachic principles. I mean, Rav Soloveitchik thought you can't have a custom that comes from nowhere. Every minhag has to have some sort of parallel in halacha, and then you can create a minhag that parallels that halacha. So what's this parallel to? So he says, Yeshnam shalosh ramot shel avilut. Okay, there are three levels of avilut for alinu. Okay, shiva shloshim yud bet chodesh. There is the rules of the first 7 days, 30 days, and then 12 months. Harava yasavur shavilut b'sriyata omer makbila l'avilut yud bet chodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Avilut of Sfirat HaOmer was parallel to the Avilut of the 12 months, okay? So therefore, whatever you cannot do during the 12 months, you cannot do during the Sfirat HaOmer. Kevan sha'isurim b'Sfirat HaOmer hem nisuin, getting married. Kenisa lebeit ha'mishtev, it's tisporet. You can't go into a big party, and you can't get a haircut. Ha'afyanim Avilut yud b'chosh, those are the things which define, they identify, they characterize, that's the best word, they characterize the Avilut of 12 months.
Can you get a haircut for 12 months?
So, some people's Ashkenazi custom, I think, is that you need Chavero Yigarbo. His Yigarbo Chavero, that his friend says to him, you look disgusting, then he can get a haircut.
Like every couple months?
Yeah, so some people hold that once he does it once, so then you can shave after. Some people hold that he needs to keep doing it every time in
so
order
like
to be
they
able
to like, do it like, oh, you look disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll always see, like, at the day after Shloshim, everybody walking up to the Avil saying to him, oh, you really need a haircut. Like, it's like a thing. Like, everybody goes up to him and says it.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that,
But I think Sfaradim, Rabbi Chaim said, I don't remember exactly. He said there's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim regarding this halacha. I don't quote me on this. I think he said that for Sfaradim, the giyur is automatic. Yeah. Meaning, once you get to a certain point in time, there's automatically a giyur. So automatically, like, he doesn't actually have to say it, and therefore, I don't quote me on this, but I think...
It's the same day, and like 30 days on it.
After the 30th
like
day.
2 weeks.
Yeah, my daddy, after his mother's Zikrona Lebracha, 30 days, just...
She's right. Okay. Right. Okay. Anyway, so he says, B'yubit chodesh m'tad li'sta per l'achar sh'yigabur chaverav, right? If his friends say to him, listen, man, you got to get a haircut, right? So therefore, he's allowed to shave within 12 months, right? L'achar kama yamin shelo hizkalech. If he hasn't shaved for a bunch of days, hadam magia lematzav shel ga'arav imkach yemutar lo hizkalech. So he says, listen, in practice, the person hasn't shaved for a few days, right? So he would reach the status of ge'ara, and therefore he would be allowed to shave during the days of Sfirat HaOmer. That's what he says. Okay. Now, so what about cutting your mustache? We were just talking about this, right? If it's getting in the way of your eating. Okay, that's what Shulchan Aruch says. Anyway, so he says that during the days of the 30 days, it's not that you have to suffer, it's just you can't do things that are lehit aden, things that are make you feel good, make you feel nice and pretty and everything that, those are the things that are forbidden. So therefore, this shaving regularly is not considered lehit aden, it's not considered for pleasure purposes, it's considered to avoid discomfort and tsar, and therefore, you would be allowed to. Okay, this is Kavod Shabbat also, dot. Okay, we don't have to go through the whole thing again, because many of these things are superfluous. Okay, now, but let's just see the end. Halakha l'maaseh, page 3, okay? Halakha l'maaseh, so l'or kol ha-shikulim halalu dat morin harav zatzal hayita sheyesh lahatir v'ulay af l'chayev l'kadeh chavot shavah me'sivyat ha-omer. So he says, you're allowed to, maybe even you have to. shave in honor of Shabbat during Sefirat HaOmer. That's the opinion, I believe. I assume he means Rav Soloveitchik here, okay? So he says, which is down here on the bottom of the page. Okay. Now, listen. Limrot ha'amor, he's going to bring in something similar to what Rav Melamed said. There's something else important that we have to take into account, we have to weigh in making our decision. What is it? Bizman Talmud, chavishat kippah lo hayta mekubalet etzel kulam. The times of the Talmud, not everybody wore a kippah. Right? So he says, ulam kayom, hi hafacha, now it's a sign, it's an indication. And now you have to. That's what Moshe says. You have to wear a kippah today. Okay? This is very similar to Rav Lamed said. Not shaving during Sefirat HaOmer has become a sign, an indication of a person's feeling obligated to the mitzvot, feeling connected to the mitzvot. It can lead a person to say that, oh, well, you could be lenient. You could lean on this, you could be lenient on other things as well. It depends on your surroundings. How are people going to perceive you? What are people going to think about you if you do shave? If Adam nimtza b'makom shebo muvan shagiluach enenu kula el noad lahachmir b'chavod haShabbat, everybody understands that you're not doing it because your reasoning is not that chas v'shalom you take the minhag lightly or that you're not so into the minhag, but rather you're very strict on kavod Shabbat and you take kavod Shabbat very seriously. Hareishi kar hadin litzgalach, so then a person should shave. If he nimtza b'makom shadavar asui lahavi lezilzul b'kiyum halacha. Okay? So he says that it's better not to shave even for Kavod Shabbat. And then he says that the position of shaving on Erev Shabbat is not a leniency in Sefirat HaOmer, rather it's a chumrah, it's a stringency in Kavod Shabbat. That's what he says, okay? So the Maaseh, a person has to judge, depending on where he lives. If he walks into shul on Shabbat, on Friday night, shaven. So how are people going to proceed? Are people going to say that he doesn't take the minhag of shaving during Sefirat HaOmer so seriously? Or are people going to say that he takes Kavod Shabbat extremely seriously? And based on that, a person has to decide whether it's appropriate for him to shave the Kavod Shabbat or not to shave the Kavod Shabbat.
You have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, and but you also have to understand your surroundings and understand the perceptions that people will have of you when they see you. Okay? This last thing was based on the teachings of Rav Lichtenstein, based on the teachings of Rav Soloveitchik, by Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon. The earlier stuff was Rav Eliezer Melamed.
What does it mean that they didn't wear kippah?
No, they didn't wear. They didn't. Many people weren't wearing kippah at the times of the Beit HaMikdash.
What?
So what were they wearing then?
Nothing. It was midat chasidut for many people at that time.
To wear a kippah?
To wear a kippah, yeah.
Well, I think everybody was wearing hats too.
No, you mean turban.
They were wearing turbans definitely for prayer, definitely for brachot and things like that.
No, but they were when everybody was had even having the goyim had head covered.
All day, every day, doing business, everything, all day.
Everybody except nobody came about not to wear head cover was when Kennedy became
Kennedy, JFK, right? Yeah. JFK was the first president ever to appear in public without a hat. Yeah. Okay, I mean, I don't know if people were wearing head covers even for.
So it wasn't
halacha. No, I mean, the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin says that he would, talks about head covering and refers to it as, sounds like it's midat chasidut. I don't think people were wearing head coverings for everything. Maybe definitely for tefillah and things like that, people were wearing head coverings.
Head cover or just special hats?
Either. No, I don't know. Maybe. Not sure. Okay, anyway, so that's what the Radvaz says. Okay, now, do you guys want to read the Radvaz inside, or would you rather go on to? I think I'd rather go on to music, and then if we have time, we can come back. Music. Let's go on to music, and then if we have time, we can come back to seeing this Radvaz inside. Even though it's Kedai, Rabotai, to look at this Radvaz inside. It's very, very important. Look at the Radvaz inside, okay? Lama said the Shulchan Aruch doesn't like this Radvaz, but apparently Rabbi Chaim does. So we're in Beit Midrashot Shel Rabbi Chaim, so we have to talk about the Radvaz. Okay, so let's see. What about listening to music from a electronic home device, okay? Listening on your iPod, listening on your speaker system, your iHome, right? Whatever iSystem you have, okay? We're on page 4, we're at the top of page 4, okay? Ladat Rabim, according to many people, ain't havdel bin shmiat Niganim Chayim. There's no difference between listening to live music, Lishmiat Negina Derech Radio, or Machshir Elektroni Acher. There's no difference in listening to live music, listening to radio or anything else. Ukeshem Shasur Lishma Nigunim Shal Klizemer Bime Sviata Omer Alag Ba Omer Uber Shoshit HaShavuot. Just like you can't listen to musical instruments, etc., from till Lag Ba Omer and during the 3 weeks. Kach Asur Lishom Am Gidei Machshirim Elektronim. So too you can't listen to them through electronic devices. Aval Lishmo Ashirim Derech Machshirim Elektronim Belo Livu Tizmorati Mutar. So he says that quotes the Gemara Moshe, which I'm a little surprised that Gemara Moshe said this. I'd be curious to see the Gemara Moshe inside. But apparently Gemara Moshe says that what they call a cappella music, which is recorded music but without any orchestration, is mutar. V'yesh osrim afilu shmiyat shirim b'lo livui tizmorati.
They make noise by their...
Yeah, they sing. They sing. Oh, it's just singing. Just singing, like the Maccabees. Yeah, I was always under the assumption that Moshe said that it was a serve. I could be wrong. Well, we have to look at Yordea Bet Kuflam and Zion, see what context he said it. No electric guitar. That's not vocal. Okay? So, but some people say that if you're listening through a electronic device, even without a musical accompaniment, it's going to be asur. Something very interesting. He says that the iPod itself, your iPhone itself, is like a musical instrument, so to speak. And therefore, it is producing musical sound, even though it's the musical sound originated with voices, but it is now producing a musical sound, and therefore it's going to be a... You like that, right? It's funny. It's interesting. It's a chidush.
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 Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, so now he says, Ulam, however, Yesh Sovrim, on the other hand, and we'll see in the notes a lot of the basis and a lot of Dukim, and there's even a Rambam, Sean is very exciting, there's a Rambam about this that was going to be very indicative of something. Okay, oh, Midan also, okay. Okay, so he said, what? Okay, he's the Rambam guy. Okay. So Ulam Yesh Sovrim Shamin Hagla, Esor Shmiyat Klizever, Biyamim Elu, radio electronic. So there are those people who argue and say no. The prohibition, or whatever prohibition exists of listening to music during this time, which is, as Sean pointed out, doesn't even appear in Shulchan Aruch, right? So the doesn't directly appear in Shulchan Aruch. It does not extend to electronic devices, okay? Mipnei she'ein b'shmiatam chagigiyut kifi she'yesh b'shmiat nigunim chayim. There's no celebration the way that there is when you're listening to live music. Okay, that's reason number one to be lenient. It's not the same type of celebration that you have with live music. Number two, he says furthermore that people are used to listening to the radio, listening to using recorded music. Back in the day, you couldn't just flip a switch and listen to music, right? So if you listen to musical instruments, that's a big deal. You had a band, you had a guy with his harpsichord or whatever they're playing, right? That was an exciting thing. Somebody brought a violin. Ooh, that's really exciting, right? The organ, whatever it was really exciting.
You're rich.
Right?
Accordion.
What?
You're rich.
Yeah, if you could afford to listen to my playing, yeah. Exactly. So he says, however, well, now people are so used to it, you just flip a switch, right? So the second argument is that this is just like singing, what's the big deal? It's as habitual as singing. It has the same amount of simcha as listening to singing. Yeah, well, let's get less today. Yeah, okay, I told you. Now you're starting to remember after all this.
He has a very fair maskana.
He does. Okay, so he says, "Oh, sheyesh lechalik." Everything he says is fair. Ramadan is very fair.
No, the 9 hours a day that bugged me out.
Okay, "Oh, sheyesh lechalik."
Oh, you weren't here that time. You weren't here. He says
that. Yeah, you're involved in spiritual activities for 9 hours.
You dedicate 9 hours of your day to Torah and Tefillah.
So we point that because
I don't want to bug out. Cholamot, I'm like, whoa, what am I doing with my life? So bad.
Okay, this is the third reason. Okay, v'od, in the bold, okay? V'od, sheyesh lechalek ben nigunim shel simcha lenigunim regilim. You can also distinguish between happy, joyous music and regular music. Shirak nigunim shel simcha yesh makom la'asar b'yamim elu gam mimachshirim beitiyim. Maybe even if you want to be machmir on home entertainment systems, home devices, like your iPhone or your iPod. So that's only if it's happy music. Those things you don't have to forbid during Sefirat Omer.
What's the example of
this?
Like, unless it's like a house song and like really gets you, like,
things you dance to at a wedding.
At a lot of weddings, they'll play all the songs that are on the radio.
Even songs that are not like they don't have like a beat to them, like things a dance beat to them.
Things are meant to get you to like.
Like if you look at like any Jewish music CD, right? So half
so
the songs.
Any Jewish music?
No. I'm saying half the songs are like dance songs, and half the songs are like not even sad songs, but they're like
don't listen to the Macarena.
That's upbeat. That sounds upbeat to me. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So a person wants to be leaning and rely on this opinion. But don't listen to it too loud. Why? Because the sound of the kol which fills the room creates a certain atmosphere. Very interesting opinion. He says that when I have, even if I'm playing classical music, let's say, I'm playing basic classical music, but the sound reverberates in the room, it creates like a feeling of music in the room, so that's already too chagigi, that's already too celebratory, therefore it should not be done during Sefirat Omer, even according to the Mikilim, even according to the lenient ones, at least the way he concludes, okay? It seems like according to all opinions, and the Heg Barach is very important, you're afraid you're going to fall asleep driving, to stay awake, you can't listen to music, okay?
Nobody
so what?
Nobody listens to music just to stay awake.
Yeah, of course there are people. What do you
mean?
Of course there are. So sometimes if you're listening to the news, let's say, it happens to me very often.
I know some people who they do long drives at night for like business. He tells me he listens to stand up comedy to keep him awake.
6-7 hours you drive.
Hey, no, I'm not saying that there are some.
No, there are times where I'll be listening to the news or I'll be listening to Bloomberg, whatever. And I start like getting really, really tired and dozing off, and I'll have to put on music to like, give me something like.
Out of 100 times that you're driving in a car, how many times is that?
Unfortunately for me, it's many more than one. But it doesn't make a difference. What is that? Even if it's rare, so what? So what is that?
This isn't something you should look at and say, okay, I'm in the car.
No, okay. So I have to be honest. Right. If you really feel like it's.
Traffic for hours. Our traffic, this.
You have to get ways. If you're sitting in traffic for hours, you have to. Okay. Anyway, so let's look at this footnote here. So he quotes the Igrot Moshe, who says that he says really maybe we should forbid music all year round because of the Avilut HaChorban, but he says at least we should be machmir during Sefirat HaOmer and the 3 weeks. Ravadi also says that you should not listen to from the radio during Sefirat HaOmer and during the 3 weeks. I think your brother Moshe gave a shir on this once in YU.
I think about this.
I don't know if you remember. Whatever. Anyways,
what did you just say? I missed that.
Moshe said, "Okay, the Gemara sounds like perhaps a person shouldn't listen to any music today, bismaz at all, any music." So Moshe says that listen, we're not going to be that machmir, not listen to any music bismaz. However, at least during Sefirat HaOmer and during the 3 weeks, you should be machmir and not listening to music. Sort of. Modeled after that general prohibition, or inspired by that general prohibition of listening to music. Okay? And then he says, so he says you can't listen, then Ravadia says you can't listen to any recordings, and a lot of people say you can't listen to any recordings. Okay, good. Now, what are the reasons to be lenient? So first of all, he says that musical instruments are not necessarily expressions of simcha, because we see sometimes they use musical instruments for avilut also. They would have like a dirge, and they don't do it so much anymore, but they have like a dirge at a funeral. They could use musical instruments to play that music, and that's certainly not simcha. That's certainly not rejoicing. And then he quotes the Maharam Shiku, who mentioned such a distinction. Now for the Rambam Chevra. Okay, look at the quotes, the fourth line towards the end, okay? So it says, V'chein gazru. This is talking about generally listening to music after the Churban. The Rambam is one of the Machmirim, actually, about this question, okay? Okay, don't play any musical instruments. Right? The Rambam says, Asur lismoach bahen. You're not allowed to rejoice with them. You can't listen to them because of the korban. Okay, if he says nireh shikari sur the shemot klizemer who bishirei simcha shechinu the rikudim v'cholot dancing about shirim regilim v'kavachorim atzumim inam osrim. Okay, so he says that that the other types of music are not going to be included. Also, the next thing he says is that maybe just like we said by the whole gzera of not getting a haircut didn't apply to daily shaving because daily shaving didn't exist. Perhaps. Maybe it didn't apply to electronic devices. It only applied to musical instruments. There were no electronic devices. That's another suggestion why he says that apparently the custom of Arutz Sheva was during Sfirat HaOmer they would play regular music, not happy music, just regular music during. That's what he says. Okay. Do you know who started Arutz Sheva? This is trivia from my class last year. His mother. Rav Elizabeth Lamed's mother, she's Arutz Sheva. His father is Rav Zalman Lamed, who's also a Rosh Hashiva, and his mother said it's ridiculous that all the Chilonim have all their news stations and everything, and we have nothing representing, and the Haredim have their news stations, we have nothing representing religious Zionism, so she said we have to start our own station, and they started Arutz Sheva, which is now a huge news resource of religious Zionism. It's Rabbi Eliezer Malamed's mother, Rabbi Zalman Malamed's wife. She's the one started. Okay, also he said you shouldn't go to concerts, but concerts are also Davar Chagi. Okay, if you're interested, he talks about Shechianu. There's no real Isur of saying Shechianu during Sfirat HaOmer. Some people do have the custom not to. Do Persians have the custom not to? Maybe some Shaiz have the custom not to? I don't know. Vaguely heard maybe the custom not to say Shaykh Yan. Maybe the custom not to say Shaykh Yan is about the Omer. I don't know, but Mikara Din is definitely not included in the original Isur.
It's only until Lod, right?
The 34th day of the, meaning through the 30th, Sephardim, until the 34th day in the morning. The prohibitions apply until the 34th day in the morning.
Definitely don't buy clothes.
No, so buying regular clothing for sure should be okay. So Rav Avadia has a teshuva. He quotes the Ramban. The Ramban al Torah says the following. He says the days of Sfirat HaOmer actually have an aspect, and the Rav Malamed quotes this also, have an aspect of simcha in them. The Ramban al Torah says the days of Sfirat HaOmer are ki'ilu, like a chol hamoed between Pesach and Shavuot. He says as if it's like a chol hamoed between Pesach and Shavuot, and it's a certain elevated amount of simcha, and the Sfirat HaOmer itself. The Sfirat HaOmer itself connects you between the Pesach and the Shavuot. Okay, and the deeper meaning obviously is that the freedom of Pesach is to take us to the freedom of Shavuot. So the freedom of Pesach, the purpose of it is to take us to the Matan Torah of Shavuot, and that's the real purpose and meaning, and that's the connection between the Pesach and the Shavuot, and the Sfirat HaOmer is that connection that's very much. So anyways, so Rav Avadia says that you can buy new clothing during this time.
You can.
Yeah, Rav Avadia says